Today we'll look into the book of Proverbs, chapter 9. For the last 2 months, we have been going through chapter by chapter, and what a wonderful reminder as we come together to be reading from this book and learning about the benefits of wisdom and what it means to have wisdom from God. And today we'll go into chapter 9. And this chapter can be divided into a few different segments. And I'd like to read first verses 1 through 6, and we'll proceed. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, he says to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. You know, this chapter kind of reminds us of two forces that are always trying to attract man, or as we call believers as well. We see Christ on one side trying to compete for the soul of man. But we also see Satan or the world on the other side trying to attract and take man under its clutches. So we see life on one side and death on the other side, or you can always say good versus evil. So both of these are stating their case before us and inviting us to choose and to surrender our hearts. So we see that picture as I was reading through that, we can see wisdom is Christ personified. And we'll go into the second part where the foolish woman is sin personified. So verses 1 through 6, we see wisdom personified, or Christ is inviting us to have communion with him. You know, when we go through this passage, we see that it is up to us to choose who we want to follow. You know, the world is enticing us. And we see also wisdom is enticing us to follow wisdom. Then we also see the other force pulling us away from that. Now it is up to us to make that final choice as to who to follow. So here we see wisdom is magnificent and very generous. We can see that as you read this passage from 1 through 6 about wisdom building her house and the 7 pillars and the meal that she is preparing. And she has furnished the table. We also see that she has sent out maidens and inviting people and crying out to the cities and saying, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And then says, come, there's an invitation here. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. And then we also see at the same tone, forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. So wisdom is so magnificent, and it is generous, and it is enticing or inviting us to come in and feed. It reminds us of Christ's invitation, you know, the blessing of knowing Christ, the generosity of his grace. We read in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Christ is wisdom personified, and everything is in him. The abundance of grace and mercy is in Christ. Everything is hidden in him. So when we come to Christ, we are being invited to come and sup and enjoy the blessings that Christ is giving to us. So we see in this passage the beautiful meal, the pillars, the invitation, the maidens are sent out, and people are asked to go out and invite people to come in. and to participate and enjoy the fellowship. At the same time, we see to forsake foolishness and to live and to go in the way of understanding. It kind of reminds us of the passage in Matthew 22, if you can turn to that, the marriage or the parable of the wedding feast. Matthew chapter 22, we see that parable of the wedding feast, and we see that the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he called out his servants to call those who are invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his own business. So we see that the invitation has been put out. The parable of the marriage feast, or the kingdom of heaven, is similar. There is an invitation put out, but there are people who are not responding to that. And the invitation said, I have prepared my dinner. The oxen and fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. You just come to the wedding. But we see there are people who still make light of it. That is the kind of world we live in. We see that wisdom has prepared such a beautiful meal and inviting people to come. But you see that the end result is that many people don't accept it, because they are so enticed by the world that they live in. They are bombarded by what they see on things around them. So the marriage of the wedding feast, or the parable of the wedding feast, is letting us know that the kingdom of God is compared to a great supper. Invitation has gone out, but not everyone is accepting the invitation. And if you go back to Proverbs chapter 9, we see the seven pillars, that seven means completion. So you can say that the seven pillars personifies the power and promise of God. And also if you look at verse 2, we see that the meal has been prepared. How was it prepared? There was a slaughter that happened. A sacrifice had to happen. Now, it reminds us of Christ, who is the perfect sacrifice. You know, he came and he became the sacrifice for us so that we can come to the table and enjoy his fellowship. You know, he brought me to the banqueting table, and his banner over me as well. What a great reminder. As we read this passage, we can see Christ in it. The slaughter happened, the sacrifice had happened, and the invitation has come out. Christ offered himself as a sacrifice. We read in John 6:55, the Lord says, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. So the Lord's Supper is the feast of reconciliation and joy upon the sacrifice of atonement. What a great reminder when we think about a feast. The Lord Jesus sacrificed himself, and because of him, we can come to the table of reconciliation. We can come to the table with joy, knowing that our sins are atoned for. So the table has been furnished with love, joy, peace, assurance of salvation, righteousness, blessings, and many more. What a table that we are invited to. It's an amazing thought to be reminded that this table has been furnished for us as believers, and we can enjoy coming into the Lord's presence and to enjoy what he has provided us. But he paid it with a great cost. The sacrifice is over. He paid for us. Let us not underestimate the importance of what he paid. As we come and enjoy the invitation and come and sup with him, let us not forget what he did on the cross for each one of us. As we were talking about the parable, many people are not accepting the invitation. That is true. We read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard it? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, what a sad situation to be in, even as the invitation has been given out, There are many who are neglecting it. They just scoff at the invitation. They don't believe in it. In John chapter 9, if you can turn with me to John chapter 9, we see the healing of the blind man. It's a whole chapter, but we see that towards the end of the passage, we see that this man said, I was blind, but now I see, in verse 25. And then as we continue to read, we see in verse 38, he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. But look at how the Pharisees are reacting in verse 40. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. You know, even in the times of Christ, there are people accusing him for what he has done. This man, the blind man, just worshiped the Lord Jesus. And he said, I was blind, but now I can see. But look at how people reacted there. They're trying to, trap the Lord Jesus. But we see that they are still foolish. They are deceiving themselves so that sins remain in them. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, we read, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. I also wanted to read the verse after that. We read here in verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. You know, the people try to think that they can outsmart. They can do things and they can get away with it because they think they are wise, but they are foolish. We see here, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. You know, how much should we crave for wisdom from God when people are going after worldly stuff and thinking that they are wise in their own sense, but sadly, they are foolish. So we are invited to the table and to enjoy what wisdom has prepared. And as we continue to read further down, in verses 7 through 9, he who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So here we see the success of the invitation. You know, here we see that instruction is given to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. But look at what's happening in the beginning. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. So what we see here is that if we continue to be wise, enjoy the wisdom that comes from Christ, from the Word of God, you know, that is the success of the invitation. So as we come and enjoy the fellowship of Christ, let us also increase in wisdom and understand where we are and who we are and what is required for each one of us. And look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. A beautiful verse. It's been mentioned many times over in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The reverential fear as we come and remember who He is, how awesome He is. As we continue to dwell and enjoy and fear Him in a reverential way. You know, that is the beginning of wisdom. That's when we realize that our wisdom in ourselves is nothing. But wisdom comes from God. That is what the Lord is requiring from each one of us. That we fear Him and honor Him. You know, we know the story of Joseph, even in the house of Potiphar. Even in jail, how he feared the Lord. He feared the presence of God. He enjoyed the presence of God. He recognized the presence of God. He knew who he was with. and he knew who, where God was, and that God is always present with him. So because of that, God gave him blessings upon blessings. God blessed the house of Potiphar for Joseph's sake. And then because of what Joseph did, because he was wise, he recognized the Lord and he enjoyed his presence. So look at verse 11 and 12. For by me your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. Another blessing of really trusting in Christ and gaining wisdom from him. For by me your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. So it is not the strength of man that determines the length of our life. You know, sometimes people take pride in saying, I'm so healthy, you know, it's because of what I've done. But little do we know that our life is such a, like a vapor. It can be taken away from us in a second. So we cannot boast in what we have. It is only by the grace of God and his strength that we are living day by day. You know, and because of him, our days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. What a blessing that as we continue in wisdom, this is what is being given to us. In verse 12, if you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. So here we see the choice that either we can be wise or we are scoffing at what is given to us. So that is a choice that is up to us to take. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone. And coming to verses 13 through 16, we see the initial piece of the foolish woman. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, to go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. We see the beginning of this passage, the foolish woman, and she is sin personified, or the world personified. And she is enticing too. She is also inviting people to come. So on one side we see wisdom preparing the table and inviting everyone to come and enjoy the blessings. But we also see on the other side, this foolish woman is also, we read here, she is simple and knows nothing. And she's calling out to those who are passing by and saying to come in. And she's saying, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. That is the message that she is bringing forth. Stolen water is sweet. You know, she is courting us for the world to come and accept her entertainment. So she's pretending to be very charming. And this is where we get into trouble as well. If you look into the scripture, there are many cases where even men and women of God have fallen away. You know the story of David. You know, he was supposed to be out in the battle, but what happened? He was sitting on the rooftop and looking at something which he was not supposed to look at a time that he was not supposed to be there. And because of that, he was enticed and he fell into sin. So sin can be very charming. You know, someone has said, sin is like the bubble of water coming out from the ocean. When the sun hits on it, you know, those bubbles look so attractive. You know, the rays of sun can hit on a bubble coming up or many bubbles coming up. It looks so enticing, so attractive, so beautiful. And that is how sin can be. So we have to be careful. We have to be always on guard that we don't allow sin to trap us. And as we read here, this foolish woman, she doesn't know anything. You know, there's nothing deep in her. Her words are very shallow. Stolen water is sweet. And that is a message that she is bringing out. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. You know, she is coming up with these things to entice us and the world to follow him. And finally, in verse 18, we see King Solomon's reminding us of what the reckoning will be. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. People are enticed by her charm, by her invitation, by her empty words, the attraction. And this is how the world traps us. When Adam and Eve saw that fruit, you read that it was very attractive. Their eyes beheld it, and they felt it was so good, they could not obey and follow what God has told them. They fell into that sin because of the attraction. And we read in 1 John, if we may go to 1 John. A very familiar First John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The world is passing away and the lust of it. This is a passing period. The world may charm us. It is only temporary. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So we have a choice. As we come to the end of this chapter, King Solomon, the wisest man on earth, is reminding us of what the reckoning will be. Those who follow this foolish woman does not realize what they are getting into. It is just death and the depths of hell. That is what sin eventually brings forth. And it is up to us to make the choice. Choice is always in front of us. We see so many choices in the Bible. We see how Abraham and Lot decided on how they chose. Lot decided to look, and in his own human wisdom, he made a choice which was terrible, and he paid the price for it. But Abraham waited until God told him to look, and then God provided for him. So in our lives, every day, we are bombarded by choices. And what choices are we making? And I want to leave with that from this chapter. For us to make the right choice, we definitely need wisdom. And this is where wisdom plays a part. And where do we find wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. As we continue our Christian life, may we continue to fear him and abide by him and abide in him and continue to feed on the promises of God and from Scripture. For the Scripture makes us complete in him. As we do that, we will continue to be wise, be able to find strength to compete or stand against the wiles of the devil, and be able to stand our ground and be not tempted. Or even if we are tempted, we are able to gain strength and stand for the Lord. And may God help us to do that. And as we continue this chapter, may these thoughts continue to remind us of the benefits of wisdom, and may his name be glorified.